I'm interested from a historical point of view in one aspect of the town history. That is, it's soon after the war in the 1920s and just before the 20s, several people moved in here with quite a lot of money from out of town and took over some of the old farms, sometimes combining several little old farms into one big block of land. And I'm thinking first of the Lansings. Now you recall the Lansings that bought up on Selleck Hill from Jim Selleck, right?
Yeah.
That was in November 1920. Jim Selleck sold to Cleveland C. Lansing and Abby L. Lansing. You remember them? You remember?
Yeah.
Cleve Lansing was.
I remember Bill.
Abby?
I remember the
Livingston and.
Livingston and.
And Timmy, the girl.
Timmy, yeah.
And Billy. Remember the father, Cleve?
Mr. Lansing?
Yeah, Mr. Lansing. Colonel Lansing, yeah.
Colonel. Well, another thing I remember, too, that rich fella, he used to come up here to see Timmy, and he used to get gas at our place.
Peter Arno?
No.
She married Peter Arno, you know, the cartoonist.
Oh, yeah?
Was the first, well, first husband.
The one who went over there was, the guy that had all the dough, and lived down, I guess, in Texas somewhere.
Howard Hughes.
Howard
Hughes, that's right. She was a girl, Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Did he come up here?
Oh, yeah. He used to get gas at our place.
He did, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. She never married Howard Hughes.
No. And that's when the old man, Matheson, was up there.
Sandy Matheson.
Lived back. Huh?
Worked the farm there.
Yeah.
And all of Matheson kids grew up there, mostly.
Yeah.
Then Colonel Lansing was a fine guy. He was a nice man. He'd been a field artillery officer, colonel.
Yeah.
And I think he'd been military attaché to the court of Spain.
Mm.
He had a lot of uniforms. And he had a wonderful kind of a high tenor voice, a little bit shaky.
He
used to sing songs. He sang an old ballad called The Wide Missouri.
Oh, yeah?
About the Missouri River.
And yeah, he was a good-looking man, too. He was tall.
Yeah. Very military.
Yeah.
And she was a very pretty woman.
Yeah.
She was Abby Livingston from out in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I think I read somewhere where Timmy died not too long
ago.
Yeah,
she did. She died not long ago from cancer.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw her in her late years.
Somewhere.
She was married first to Peter Arno, and that was that ended in divorce. I remember when they got married in New York, and there was a reception to be up here at what do you call it? Brook Hill Farm.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Lansing called it, up in Selleck Hill.
Yeah.
They were invited some friends in there for a reception for Timmy and Peter Arno after their marriage in New York. They got there very late. We were all sitting around, the grown-ups were having drinks. And they arrived very late, and they left so late, they bought a brand new car for their honeymoon, and they had to go like hell to get up here, not be too late. And they wrecked the car, you know, in those days you had to drive slowly for 1,500 miles.
Jeez.
They came right up at 60 miles an hour and used up the car totally right away.
Yeah.
Then Billy Lansing was, well, my age. That was between him and me.
So Billy got killed.
Yeah, he was a test pilot.
Yep.
He was a test pilot during the war. His name was Crawford Livingston Lansing.
Yeah.
He was a test pilot, was killed. He married a girl named Joan and had one boy, I think.
Yeah.
Must be well grown up now, in his 30s or 40s. And Levy, the oldest boy, is up in Boonville, New York.
He stopped in to see me a couple of years ago. Did he stop and see you?
No, but I've seen him quite a bit.
Have you?
I saw him when Timmy died and was buried here. Timmy was buried here.
What the hell he tell me he's in? Insurance business or what? He told me what
he's got. He's got a weather bureau up there in Boonville, a weather lookout.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Weather reporting station.
Oh, yeah.
A farm. He married a girl named Edith from Lake, from Skaneateles, I think.
Mm.
And she had 3 or 4 kids by him, and then she died. She went out, they had a party late one night. She went out, they went out swimming, and she swam way out into this lake, Skaneateles, right off her place. Too far out, too dark, and never came in. She was drowned.
Yeah.
And then he married again, and had a little boy that they named Cleve after his father.
Oh, yeah.
But he's still going there. He still owns some land up in back there that George Kiefer takes care of. His father planted a lot, Colonel Lansing planted a lot of timber there.
Yeah.
Pine and stuff, and George Kiefer takes care of it. They're great friends, George Kiefer and Libby. Well, then, that was in November 1920 that the Lansings came, and then in 1921, Phil Warner sold them another 20 acres on the north side of Selig Hill Road. I get most of this stuff from the land records, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And then in 21, Salisbury Iron Corporation sold them two more parcels. Now that, of course, they died in the 1940s.
How about now where the Brigantes were? There was some woman by the name of White, when I could first remember, owned that, and Mr. Brigante, she let him run that farm and didn't charge him any rent.
I didn't know about that, really.
Yeah.
That was way back, huh?
Yeah. That's where Mr. Brigante was there.
Louis Brigante. I remember him. He used to rake hay with his horse and his bull.
Yeah.
Hooked them up together on a dump rake.
And old Ed Petty, he had the oxen. And
he
can remember he had one young hare that he broke in. He used to let us kids drive it.
That's
right. Ray Dufour, Les Dufour, Bill Ransom, my brother and myself.
Is that right? What'd you do, walk up the hill?
Yeah.
Walked up the hill?
Oh, hell yeah. It was nothing for us, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can remember Olive telling us this story about he got up, he was an early man in the morning, and he went out in the barn. He said, I was letting the young stock out, and he said, as I was walking along, I had to take a piss. He said, well, he said, pee. And he says, when I got to the door, the heifer went out the door, and there I stood at the door finishing my pee. And my wife came and got her to college for breakfast, and he says, you know, I never could convince her that I was covering that calf. It's circumstantial evidence.
Was that old Petit?
Yeah, old Petit. He's a grail.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of surveying, too.
Yeah, no, he did. Was that William? No, that wasn't William Petit.
No, Everett
Petit.
They call him Ed Petit.
Well, William was a great surveyor, wasn't he?
I don't know.
William Petit, I think.
I don't know.
Well,
see. Yeah, I think he was one of the surveyors around here.
W.E. Petit, maybe that's the same one,
I think so. W.E.
That's the old thing about with the horse shack in the main street here. He did way back. What's that date on it?
74.
74.
Mm-hmm. Down back of the drugstore.
Back of the drugstore?
That's
that big horse sheds.
Horse sheds, wow.
He did a lot on that front. He was a great surveyor.
Yeah.
Well, now, that place across is owned by the Hewitts now. They bought it after the war.
Yeah.
The Lansings died in the early 1940s, I think, Colonel and Mrs. Lansing. And
yeah.
It was rented for a few years, and the Hewitts, the Colonel Hewitts board, they still got it. They rent most of those farmhouses they had.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the Lansing place now.
Old Bert Clark place, Clark Farm, by the X there.
I'm going into that.
Oh.
I was going to do the, well, you remember Howard Smithers?
Yeah.
He came here with my father from the war in 1919,
mm-hmm.
End of the war, in the remount service, Newport News, Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard,
by the way, Jacksonville, after the First World War, I went to Florida. I didn't have any work. I stopped at George Washington Hotel. Mom, that's going back to
19.
Yeah. I stayed in Jacksonville for a week. I went over to the ostrich farm, the alligator farm across St. John's River. And I camped out there. And I heard the down walk.
Yeah,
it was a cavalry camp.
Cavalry arena?
I think.
Yeah.
I went out there and saw him.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Is that all right?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Now, Howard Smith is catwalk. Because my back is so nice up here. As you know, he married his youngest son
there. Lived down there.
And bought that farm down there in the valley. The fields and now it's the tilts. He called it Overbrook Farm. Well, you know, in a bad light, the town had two. But that from, I always, he bought it from John Roebuck, that place, that farm.
Oh, is it? And he got killed
by his bull, wasn't he?
Yeah, beside the brook where it was.
Yeah.
Damn bull caught him. Where did he
in June 2018, up his death certificate, fractured vertebrae of the internal injuries for 4 hours after this. It doesn't say he was killed by a bull. He was listed as a
fisher. Yeah. Up at the robot shop.
Up at Holly?
Holly. I think he was a miner.
Mm-hmm. But he ran a farm too.
Now, I don't think he had any foraging. A lot of forging over from England, like some butcher. He was a forger. I think Nash's grandpa was a forger.
What was his name? He was a Knickerbocker.
I think it's Benjamin
Senior.
I think. And then they were Holmeses, Dimes, and they. Was Albert, remember Albert Green, Jigger Shop, or wherever now, lives.
That's right, back of the.
He was the last forger they
had. Back of what's now the laundry.
Yeah.
Used to be the hams. What's it called? Jigger Shop.
The next house.
Yeah, the next
house. Yeah. You know, they're pretty goddamn. Have their bucket of forge there, and they say, just the right color
for the knife.
And those are good blades.
I know.
I worked back up back from 1919.
I had a very good name, the Holly.
I made 10 knives under
fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holly manufactured
a big high desk I had in the other room at this summit. I had.
I like it. This is hip. Oh, yeah. I had an old one that was in the holiday, and I bought it from Charlie when I was down. And that, you see, it was in the Holly Manifesto. Now that was a big place that Howard Smith. He bought it for $8,000.
Down there,
325 acres.
Mostly all level.
5 acres.
Yeah.
And that's then that was, and now it's
still. See, they went. Yeah. Roebuck went there. The knife shop closed. Yeah, they knew the Roebucks and bought a house after.
No.
You know where Mrs. Dufour is? Mom.
Yeah.
Then Mrs. Dufour.
Yeah.
That's where the Roebucks.
Oh, fellow that restored
Harry Hamlin lived there, and market was going on. He went
selling
me broke. He over or went with
plunging.
How was that stock overwritten? Well, everybody took a loss. I think what the hell it was. Jesus, he took a he's head off.
Who was the fella? Pussy Decker.
He lived in the house. That was Shorty Judd. Our place in 19.
Yeah, the commissioner.
My brother Luke Judd, Richard lived. Tonic.
Came in. Yeah. At Hollow Road. But,
before Will got it.
Going back to this farm, he has his father there. And
that red house.
In the Virginia Chester lived. And he called it Oak Road. He had Guernsey County. Young John.
Yeah.
Ran the farm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the market.
John had a sister, Harry Ann.
Yeah.
She didn't.
How ago.
Nope.
So, that valley, the Belders, down the valley, first called Heatherbloom Farm. Marlowe Richardson, I guess those are friends of
Thunderbolt.
Lime Rock was just as off bottom anyway.
The run down there?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, want me to charge you a little?
No, it's all right. Now, I want to get into the Garwood Bell place. He bought that. He came from Wasaik. I thought he came from Armenia Union.
Somewhere else.
Armenia, but it was Wasaik.
Yeah.
In 1923, April 23, from the Kip heirs. They were the Charlie Kip's children, I guess.
Yeah.
Caroline Kip was his wife.
Yeah.
Millard Kip
was one boy, and Ward was another.
Ward.
Yeah.
Who lived down in Wasaik. It was called Rocky Dell Farm. Watch that and see if it's running.
Yep.
250 acres in three parcels. Now, it says in the land records that that came to Charles Kip by the executives of the estate of Milo B. Richardson. It must have been old Milo Richardson's
place. I didn't know that.
In 1913, and it was inherited by these four children from Charles Kip.
Oh.
By the way, I can't remember Millard Kip. He lived fairly lately in Lakeville. Didn't
he lived in Lakeville.
What
now
did he do?
Where Eddie Kip lives now. He worked for A.F. Roberts' store.
That was it. And,
yeah.
And Ed's his son, isn't he?
Yep.
Ed was the what? Ed's about
married
the
Spur.
Yeah, he married Rose Spur.
Yeah.
And Ed's really the one remaining Kip in town, isn't he?
Yeah. Ward died. He married Annie Moyer,
mm-hmm.
who her father ran the town farm one time.
Oh.
And I went to school with her, Anna Moyer. She only died last year.
Who did?
Anna Moyer.
Oh, Anna Moyer.
Well, Adam Moyer Kip would be, because he married Ward Kip.
Rose Kip died quite a few years ago. Millard,
yep.
I guess.
Millard went first.
He went for Robert's
store, yep. And groceries there, and the grocery, he's on the grocery team wagon.
Yeah, I ought to get Ed Kip on this to ask him a little bit about that place. Did he stay on the farm till...
Until they moved up when that house was built on
that little house where he's now
on Petty Street, the last house down.
Last house on Petty Street. Yeah.
That's where
he must have been down there when Johnny Curtis was down on the Smithers farm. Then,
yes,
wasn't he?
Right next
door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the miners were on the other side.
Yeah.
Miners. I think Mrs. Miner inherited that farm, didn't she?
The miner, Mrs. Fanny Miner. Yeah. I don't really know, but they were there ever since I was a little fella.
I think she inherited from a Reverend Peckham.
Oh, yeah?
And I wouldn't be surprised if she was a daughter. George Marnie used to tell me that his family moved up there from Salem, Connecticut.
Yeah? I didn't know that, but the miners have always been there since I can recall.
Yeah.
Well, even went back when the Kips were there.
Yeah.
I
think Nort is too young to remember that much about it. He wasn't in town. He was away at school and college. I think Nort was.
I don't think she would remember that.
I could ask Kip something. Ed Kip something about it. Now, let's get to this. I'm going to switch around now before the town farm. The Charlie Rogers place. They bought a lot of land from the Miles up there, where the Harrises are now.
Yeah, totally.
Charlie Rogers. My father had a lot to do with putting these places together for these people from out of town with money, because he and Don Warner were in the real estate business together, agents at Rand and Warner. I found their books here in this office.
Well, when that Rogers place was built, a man by the name of Roger built it at first, because...
Yeah.
We done all the wiring there, and R.C. Miller done the plumbing at that time. And that goes way back.
Charlie Rogers, yeah, he bought those pieces from the Miles, William Miles and his wife and Helen.
Hello, Miles.
1919.
Well, right after this.
And then they bought some more, and Dick Miles was the brother. Dick Miles was the son and the brother, Helen's brother. He was up in Vermont.
Yeah.
He was up in Arlington, Vermont. And he had a lumber yard in Manchester there, lumber business in Manchester, Vermont. He was a great friend of my father's.
Yeah, he's the brother of Emily Miles.
Yeah, Emily and Helen.
Yeah.
And then they bought in 1919, and they bought a piece, Charlie Rogers bought a piece from Carol and Little. That was the... down the foot of the hill, you know, the little place?
Oh, yeah.
Down the corner there. Yeah. About 83 acres and 125 acres.
That was a big house, too, right there.
A little house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the left.
Well, that's put together from a lot of the Miles tracks and Little's tracks, and my father got it all together for Charlie Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
And he built that house, and then he sold to Ewan Harris. Jack Harris.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember George Mitchell up on the hill?
Yep.
George H. Mitchell?
George H. Mitchell.
That big, he built that house, I guess, didn't he? That big glory view?
Yep. He married one of the McNeils.
Yeah, that's right, he did, yeah.
Harriet, I think. Harriet McNeil.
He bought that land from Frederick Gillette of Canaan.
Oh, yeah?
In 1916. And on both sides of the road. Remember he had the little farm going down on the left?
Where that little farm is, that farmhouse now belongs to her.
Yeah, he bought those two pieces from Gillette, one on either side of the road, including that farm. Now, I know a little something about that because he had a farmer named, caretaker named DeVito. Remember him, Jerry DeVito, Italian?
Italian fellow, yeah.
And he had a boy, Pete.
He lived there.
He died. He was out coon hunting with Mr. Mitchell one night, and he had a heart attack and died.
Uh-oh.
In 1924. And his wife and son came to us. She came to cook for us, Mrs. DeVito.
Mm.
She was our cook, wonderful Italian cook when we were boys.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete DeVito grew up with us for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
Her son. She made wonderful Italian spaghetti and sauce.
Yeah.
And She had been married to a guy named Musiello before that, and had a daughter, Mary Musiello. Mary Musiello worked in our house with Madeline Carroll.
Oh, yeah.
Way back then, yeah. 20s. And that's how we got Mrs. DeVito for a cook, I guess, through her daughter, Mary, from her first marriage. Well, it turned out some years later that old Musiello had left a lot of real estate in Mount Vernon, New York, and it became very valuable. And Mrs. DeVito was worth a lot more money than my mother and father were. She wanted to stay and be our cook, but she couldn't. What didn't seem right for her. She went back down to Mount Vernon to take up these properties.
Property down there.
Money.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
And then that farm on that side was bought. George Mitchell, I guess because DeVito died, he didn't have a farmer. He sold it to Jack Harris, to Ewan Harris.
Oh, Ewan Harris.
That farm in 1931, that was later, Steve.
And I sold the Harris's a tractor in 1928, Farm All 20.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It was steel wheels with the lugs on it.
Big lugs, yeah.
Finally, they changed it after later years, I forgot. They changed it to the rubber tire wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that those things going around? Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Well, that's the Rogers place, now the Harris place. That's a lot of land. That was all put together from a lot of different ones. Now, let's go up on the Taconic Road.
I heard called
the Holmes Farm, where Whitridge is now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, that was, you remember a man named Arthur Pierce came in here about 1919 and bought that?
Yeah.
Had a wife, Lucy, and three boys.
Yeah. But was that after Luke Judd lived there? Remember Luke Judd lived there?
I think it was. This was 1919. It was Clifford Boardman.
Well, then it must have been after Judd. This Pierce came in there after Judd then, I'm sure.
Yeah, Boardman sold it to Pierce.
Yeah.
Kate, he married a Holmes, Kate Holmes Boardman.
Yeah.
No, his mother was Kate Holmes Boardman. See, it had been an old Holmes farm.
Yeah.
And so Clifford Boardman sold it to Arthur Pierce, who came from Hewlett, Long Island. That's near where my father came from.
Oh, yeah?
And he came up with a wife and three boys.
Oh, yeah.
And then he bought that Holmes, it was called the Holmes Farm in the land records, 240 acres, subject to the railroad and the highway, both went through it, see. Then he bought a piece on the lake, 75 acres from the Avalons. Avalon and Florence Daly.
Yeah.
75.6 acres between the highway and the lake. There's a cabin there. He must have built the cabin. And the Pierce boys, we used to swim down there.
Down by the lake?
Yeah.
And I think Williams finally got that. Professor Williams.
Yeah. No, Richards has it.
Oh, is it?
Next to Williams.
Oh, does it?
Williams has the other parts.
Yeah.
Johnny Pierce built we thought it'd be a good surfboard to pull behind an outboard motor.
Yeah.
But we found if we got near the front of it, we would go down underwater. So we tried to catch turtles down in there.
Well, that one of you're speaking of, Whitridge's boathouse there, must be to the south of Williams.
South of Williams, that's right.
Yeah.
Williams. The Williams place is called North Meadow.
North Meadow, right.
And Richards is south, and, you know, mostly in the woods. Yeah. Up in there somewhere.
Professor Williams, and his daughter married a guy by the name of Garston.
D.V. Garston.
D.V. Garston.
And she died, Betty Garston died just a few years ago, two years ago.
I think last year or year before.
She lived in the Haven.
Yeah.
And she had one daughter, married an army officer.
Yep.
Lots of money.
Yeah, his name is Blackwell.
Blackwell, that's
right. Yeah. They have a daughter, and she used to come to our house when Barry was. She liked Barry quite a bit.
She
married some guy.
Cute girl.
And they didn't live together very long.
Yeah.
I never liked that guy, and he used to come to the house too. They used to have drinking parties, their beer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was a no guy for her. She needed somebody that had a little more life, but he was a miserable cuss. Well, they didn't stay together long.
This is the boy that married the Garston girl.
Yeah.
Granddaughter.
Yeah. I can't think of her first name right now.
Well, they were related to Matt Craighead, you know, Magruder Craighead, and I saw them there at his funeral, at his burial.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Arthur Pierce died, and it went to Lucy Pierce, his wife. Lucy Inman, she had been. I know my mother knew her well. And she sold it to Mrs. Whitridge, who came from New York City in 1927. So that's the history of that. It was still called the Holmes Farm then. Now I want to jump around some more to the next one of those, next to last one of those, and that's the Swan Farm.
Oh yeah.
Ward and Andrus.
Yeah, Ward. It used to be the Ward Farm. Ward Farm.
Yeah, we always called it the Ward Farm.
Yeah.
That was sold in 6 parcels to Joe Swan, Mary A. Ward, Nellie J. Andrus. I guess she married an Andrus.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel Church Ward up in Massachusetts, and Preston Ward in Massachusetts. Did you know any of them?
No.
They sold Joe Swan 6 parcels on Wheatog Road, it was called, spelt funny there, in 1926.
That must have been a continuation of Wheatog Road coming across 44.
This is spelled W-E-T-A-U-G.
Oh,
same road, of course.
Same road.
Continuation, yeah. And then he bought 4 parcels from Martin Goggin. Remember the Goggin farm? Just north of the Ward farm?
I don't think so. No.
But the barns are torn down now. They were right on the crest of the hill, right next to the highway.
Oh yeah.
Just up, going out towards Smith Hill from the big Ward place.
No, I don't think I can recall that.
Martin Goggin. Then there was a third farm with an old brick house that had fallen down up still further north towards Smith Hill, with some barns across the road. You know. We worked the place. That's how I know it so well. My father worked that farm, and I did.
I know when I first got in there, Swan was there. I can remember the wards, but I remember when Swan went there and he put up the greenhouses and stuff in on the right-hand side of the road going south. And then there was some barns over there. And then there was a tenant house there, too.
There was a red barn and a greenhouse attached to that, yeah.
And there was another just farther going toward Falls Village, there's another big white house right
yeah.
there on the right. I forgot who was in there. Do you remember?
Well, when we ran the farm, Graham.
That house, that white house, well, Graham Curtis lived in that when he worked for us. Bill Curtis lived there before, too. And they came down from Maine with their brother Hugh Curtis, who worked for Ed Woodard at Grassman Farm, you know, and then he moved over to Pine Plains, New York. Young Hughes lived here quite a lot longer and then died. Married Lulia Sabin.
Sabin, right.
We had a, Graham Curtis had 13 children, and about the last one was born when Roosevelt, the day Roosevelt was elected, he named it Franklin Roosevelt Curtis. And we mostly worked that farm to make, we kept two or three family cows and supplied the swans with milk and Graham Curtis' family and farmers. But mostly we moved the hay up to Hamlet Hill to supplement our hay supply in the winter up there. Mm. Then a few years later my father got a herd of Aberdeen Angus from down Cornwall. And then he got a young Angus bull from Briarcliff Farm over in Pine Plains, a big thorn breeding farm. Strong young bull, and he was out with the cows, and he swam the river across the Canaan side, toward Wilkes side, after some cows, I guess,
sure.
that were bulling. And we chased him over there across the river in that land for 2 or 3 days with horses, trying to round him up, and we couldn't get him. But finally, we got him into Harry O'Lennox's cows. You know
where the farm is.
You know where the farm is.
Just before you get the railroad across. From there,
yeah,
right?
On the left. Big, handsome white
yeah.
house.
Yeah.
That was Harry O'Lennox. And we got him in, we got this bull in with his cows when they came in for milking in the afternoon. And we got a rope around him and then a chain around his neck and hooked him on the back of a platform truck. And pulled him back to the Swan Farm, Stillwater Farm, down by the Iron Bridge in Falls Village there, and then up.
Mm.
So he was so strong, he could raise his head with the chain on the truck, he raised the pine wheel right off the ground. Is that running now?
Yep.
Then, the house burned down. You were telling me the house, you were remarking the house.
Yeah.
Then he moved to Farmington.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He always said that he'd lost all his friends here, that they'd all died or moved away, so he didn't want to live here any longer after he rebuilt the house.
Yeah.
Then it went to Russell Dench.
Wasn't long after that before Tracy moved out, too. He was there.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about Tracy.
Yeah, he was the one that ran the greenhouses, and he had those gladiolus,
yeah.
plenty of them, all colored.
And he had the Gargan farmhouse. That's where the Gargan farm was.
Yeah.
Remember, he lived there?
Yeah. That's the
he
one.
He had a daughter named Lucille. And I was asking you if you knew a young woman named Burdella Humes.
No.
That seems to have come from
I remember the Humes name, but I
yeah.
can't recall.
She was somehow connected with the Goggins. I don't remember. I don't know any more about that. There's Ed Humes and young Ed Humes here, but I don't think she was the same direct family. Anyway, then that farm in between, in the war and afterwards, it was farmed by Floyd Laird from Sharon. And Harold Byam had it for a while, who used to work for us, be herdsman for us. The
Harold's up in New Hampshire.
Yeah, back up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's about the end of that. And now we're going over to the town farm. And the Cannons, I knew them well because they rented off cottage, the great cottage up on Hamlet Hill Road,
mm-hmm.
you know, for two, three
yeah.
summers before they bought.
Yeah.
And they became great friends of my family. They came from Montclair, just like Mrs. Belcher did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was down in Montclair.
Montclair.
Belcher had to. One summer, I worked for the Belchers, and they lived down Upper Mountain Avenue in Montclair.
Now, I keep talking into that about just the way you're talking to me.
And then they had, the Benjamin Moore Company had an
yeah.
office on 505 Canal Street in New York.
Yeah.
And that's about the time when the Belchers came up here
right.
to live up on Town Hill.
Yeah.
just like the one last year. Yeah.
Well, let's get back. We may get to the Belcher place, the old Cleveland place, places soon, but...
On the town farm.
The town farm. Now, when Bill Caron bought that, he bought it from Mrs. McLeish, Ada McLeish, of Ashfield, Massachusetts. She was the wife of that famous man of letters, Archibald McLeish. Do you know anything about that?
How the hell did she get that? The town, that was the town farm. I suppose the town owned the property.
Now,
I can't ever recall.
221 acres, and exclusive of highways, and was bounded northerly by Miss Berger, Marie Berger, you know.
Miss Berger, that's on the...
And by Alice Howell, that's up on the bend there.
J.C.
J.C. Howell, owned by Alice E. Howell. And by the whole highway from Salisbury to Lime Rock, and by Fanny M. Miner's farm, which was formerly part of the Faber farm. Now, we're going to get to that. I want to get to that with you. That must be the part up on the hill where North Miner lives, that was part of the
Faber
farm.
The farm, or the house that's just below Cannon's going toward Kipps down.
Yeah.
Belted. Well, that was the Traver.
Yeah.
Bill Traver farm.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
And then William Tolliver. That was the part of the Traver farm. You remember Tolliver?
Bill Tolliver. He lived on the hill there with those colored people. Or if I'm right.
But which hill is that?
Tolliver, when I knew him, lived there. Where that group of colored people live on top of that hill there. You know where Frank Matson used to live?
You mean on Farnham Road?
Yep.
Muck Alley?
Yeah, Muck Alley, Farnham Road.
I thought Tolliver was in that farmhouse of the Cannons. The Traver farmhouse.
He could have been back
Bill,
then.
Could Bill Traver have sold Tolliver and then moved into town? Didn't Bill Traver?
I don't think that Tolliver ever bought that farm. He may have leased it or rented it.
Was this the same Bill Traver that was in the lumberyard community?
His father.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Traver, and he married Margaret Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Turner's daughter.
Oh.
And they lived down Petty Street then.
Bill Traver.
Yeah. Or no, Turner's. The
Turner.
That's a Traver. This is Bill Traver, the boy, he worked for community service.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't a boy when I knew him. He left you.
Oh, no.
Now, then, there was bounded by the highway from the town farm to the Wells Hill, and by Kate B. Knight. They went up into Kate B. Knight's land.
That would be on the right, going up Wells Hill.
That would be the Perry farm, wouldn't it? Wells Hill farm?
Yeah. Where Vale was.
Yeah, where Vale was.
Yeah.
And then Charles Ball.
Charlie Ball. That was where the town dump was back when Charlie Ball. He was Colonel Ball. Colonel Charlie Ball. He was in the.
He was the Charlie Ball.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Married to his offspring. He lived up here.
Right up here. In the bush.
Yeah. And he married a girl by the name of Van Dyke.
Uh-huh.
Ethel Van Dyke. And they had four kids, I guess. One girl, one smart girl, Maud. She lived down Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Charlie Ball, and he, everybody took their tin cans and everything there, and he used to sort over that stuff.
Where was that?
Between the Cannons that coming down toward Lakeville on Farnham Road, just foot of that hill, there's a gully in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come up to the next house where Frank Maston lived.
Uh-huh.
It's where Red Parmley last lived, the Parmley.
Well, that's Ernest Parmley, huh?
His name was Red. Yes, it could have been. Could we all
I remember Red Parmley.
He married a girl from Waterbury.
He was next to Charlie Ball.
Yep.
Something went wrong with this. It got that squeaky. Donald Duck thing, and we better put something more on this from now on. So let's try. Park, you got 5 minutes. See if we can put go on from that description of the by Charlie Ball's and Red Palmley's there, and the dump that Charlie Ball had. Go on from there about that environment, that section.
Well, of course, there wasn't much else in there at the time. You come on down over the hill from where I told you that Bill Tolliver lived. It was old Harry Jackson, who was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Jackson. His name was Daniel Jackson, the father. Harry was the son. And then you had the next house down were colored people, the William Branch family.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had, back in my day, Dick Wilson lived in that next house where Chavuz lived. Then come down over the hill.
That Tug Wilson's father? Or Tug Wilson? Or
Tug Wilson's son.
Or son, Tug Wilson.
Tug. He was a painter.
Right.
So
yeah.
Was Dick, for that matter.
Yeah.
Finally married Mrs. Winningham.
Mrs. Winterbottom.
Winningham.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, then coming down toward Lakeville on the next, coming down the hill on the left is where old George Frank lived.
Oh, yeah.
He farmed it there, had small acreage up and back. He also had maple sugar house up in there in the maples. And they used to do butchering, he and his son, Gene Frink. Gene Frink, eventually, he married Les Storms' mother. You remember? George Frink had three daughters. Esther Frink, who was a school teacher, Sadie Frink, who was a nurse, and Ada, who married Ed Miller. And, well, when you come down to the next house, was O'Brien's. And there was old Steve Duvall, way back in my days, Steve Duvall, where Hattie Thorpe lived, you know? You know where Hattie Thorpe lived? Johnny Jordan down there?
Yeah, I remember Johnny Jordan's place.
Well, way back in my day, when I lived with Enoch Silvernail after my father died, that was old Steve Duvall lived in there.
Mm-hmm.
And right across from that was my uncle's garden. We called it the swamp. And what stuff that would raise in there. Well,
and keep drawing that light for me on the tapes.
Yeah. Then you go on down, you would hit, a few houses through there, Ian Silvernail, Bert Miller, Ed Miller. Then you hit Almar Cleveland, the Pines, they called it then.
That's Holly Palmer's.
Holly Palmer's, it would be her
grandmother.
Let's see. I don't know. Her mother was
one of the Clevelands, wasn't she?
Lucille Wilcox.
Oh, that's right. It was
Wilcox.
Right.
And her mother's name was Elizabeth, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two other women there. There was Mary Cleveland and Anna Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert. Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got Cleveland Street, which
we've been over about another.
Well, over where the sawmill house was. We talked about the sawmill house.
Yeah.
And then there's also the old stone quarries over there, in there. There's two of them, stone quarries, where they used to get out stone.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the watering troughs here, the one in Lakeville and the one on Wells Hill, all came out of there. Old John Garrity, he was those out there, whatever they call it.
He used to chisel them out, huh?
Yep. And he lived there at that time, way back when he first came in. He came down, I think, from Sheffield somewhere.
That was John, who was the John Mason?
John Garrity, Charlie Garrity's father.
His father, yeah.
He was quite a character. He was hired here.